Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is the only well-built free public skate park in our area, and demand has clearly outgrown capacity. It's also worth noting that Blake Doyle took over 8 years of advocacy, fundraising, and volunteer time to build. The issue here is simple. Our wheeled sports community is growing, but our skatable spaces are shrinking. Recently, we have lost Goal Point and now Chimes Way, both in the same way. Ramps were removed without notice and without a plan for replacement or upgrade. Meanwhile, we continue to see consistent investment in other public sports facilities like basketball, pickleball, tennis, etc.
I know at first your reaction to this is probably when you first hear the skateboarders show up and complain about the loss of a pretty crummy, by any objective measure, little skate spot over at Chimes Way Park. This just south of Beverly Parkway and just east of W Street, and it's kind of back tucked into the neighborhoods back there. I think first reaction is like, oh man, what are they whining about now? You know, like as a kid and, you know, kind of a sporter all along, and, you know, calling it wheeled sports, kind of a, you know, a little bit, I don't know, foo-foo-y sort of language. But if you actually just think about it as in any other activity, it's pickleball, it's tennis, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's, you know, name your soccer, okay? You know, pick your sport. You used to have in Escambia County, and Escambia County has always been in the area, so I think you kind of have to include Gulf Breeze, okay? Because the Gulf Breeze Skate Park is, you know, it's better than, you know, average. It's not great. They're actually working on some improvements and renovations and upgrades, whatever. But you never really had a good skating facility in this area forever. What you had was Chimes Way, which is a kind of low half pipe at one end, a little quarter pipe at kind of perpendicular to that. There's a couple of very small mound elements in the middle, and then another, like a sort of a low angle ramp. And it's not that, it's not a quarter pipe, it's not a ramp, it's kind of like sort of in between. It's and a couple of rails, you know, and I mean, there's enough to play on, and it's more than just, you know, nothing. It's more than going to somebody's parking lot or some park bench somewhere or whatever, or the steps of the, you know, City Hall building or whatever, which is, you know, historically, where do skaters go? Well, they go where they're told not to go, but they go there anyway because that's what you do. It's better than nothing. But in the grand scheme of skate park components and quality and upkeep, on a 1 to 10 scale, it's like a 2 at best, historically. And one of the problems is that in this area, you had that one, and then you also had Gull Point, which is at the Gull Point Community Center, or used to be, and that was even less awesome. That was a 1 on a 1 to 10 scale. It's hard to imagine a skate park being even lower quality than Chimes Way, but yet Gull Point was like that. It was just a couple of feet. I mean, really, just a couple of devices, and, you know, I'd gone there once or twice and took the kids when they were like 5. You know, it's kind of nothing. But then that got taken away because I forget the reason why. That's a city community center. That's City of Pensacola. That one went away, I think, because of lack of good condition. Okay, this one went away because there were, you know, homeless people living underneath the boxes that formed the end of the quarter pipes. I mean, there's basically 4 boxes, and not in the greatest of shape. You know, it's kind of old and not maintained very well. And had it not been for Blake Doyle Skate Park down under 110, what you'd have to say is there was really no place to skate anymore in Escambia County. But, of course, there is a very, very nice skate park now underneath I-110. The problem is that not everybody lives there or close to there. And skateboarding is largely a neighborhood activity. And, you know, just like it wouldn't make you thrilled if they closed your neighborhood park or say, you know, five of the neighborhood parks near you to think comparatively, and they told you, yeah, but don't worry about it. There's a park at Bayview. I mean, what's your problem? Well, the problem is that's hard to get to. That's a long ways away for an awful lot of people. And so the skateboarding community and rollerblading, not that many people do rollerblading, but some do, scooters, they looked at this and they thought, good Lord, man, we had two crappy facilities. We built a really nice one. Blake Doyle is, it's like a 7 or an 8 on a 10 scale. And I only say that because I've lived in other towns where you have, really big, nice skate parks. And it's good. I'm not complaining. It's very good. But, for the number of skateboarders, it gets full a lot because, it's only got so much size. And, you can always do more if you have more space and more money. Okay. You had two crappy ones. You built a really nice one. And then now you got rid of the two smaller ones. And people are like, well, our population's growing. There's more of us than there used to be. And now there's two skate parks that have been taken away from us.
Chimes Way was removed due to issues unrelated to skateboarding, homeless sheltering, and neglected maintenance. Yet skaters are the ones who are bearing the consequences.
Yeah, you have a community park activity area, and it's popular for some people, not all people, but it's popular for some people, and it got removed. And so the people who use it are like, hey, man, what gives? You wouldn't take away a playground facility without a plan to replace it, without some kind of an announcement that this was coming. You wouldn't take away pickleball courts, God forbid, the 60-year-old ladies storm City Hall. I mean, I know they're not the only one to play pickleball, but, they lead the pack, okay? Anything like this, you cater heavily to the people who are affected. You wouldn't take away the disc golf baskets at Hitzman Park without some warning to people. And here all of a sudden you just wake up one morning and what happened to our skate park? Now, there's still the little mound of things in between the two quarter pipes or quarter pipe and the ramp. And then there's a couple. There is not nothing there. It's not just a flat piece of ground, but it's almost nothing because all of the ramps and quarter pipes all got, or the ramp and the three quarter pipes got taken away.
I just ask that the county recognize these spaces are more than places to skate. They are places of belonging for all the people that use them, especially for the youth that are not involved in non-traditional sports. Upward Intuition is not here just to complain, but we are here to help. If Chimes Way isn't the right place to rebuild, let's find the right one. Let's rethink just putting metal ramps on a slab. Let's invest in a simple, durable, well-designed skate space that lasts, and the community will take pride in, just like they do the Blake Doyle Skate Park.
Yeah, and, the county has kind of said they intend to replace the facility. They intend to, it needs repairs or whatever. I haven't gotten an answer yet on timing or specifics, so maybe it will come back, maybe in, I don't know, it could be a week, it could be a year, it's not really clear. Obviously, putting in something with, a bowl or something that has more features is going to be more expensive, but skateboarding is one of those kind of, it's a great outlet for kids who sometimes are kind of at the margins in terms of behavior and academic performance. And it gives them something they can do. It builds all kinds of character traits, just like other, in some ways more than other activities, because you don't have a coach, kind of like you're your own coach, and you fall and you get up and you fall and you get up and you try and you fail and you try and you fail and you try 1,000 times. And then eventually you pop your first ollie and you're like, oh, Ren! And then you can't do it again for 400 tries, but I mean, it's that kind of a thing. It builds character. And it's a place for people to hang out and sometimes get into trouble, if we're honest. Skate parks are not always the, they're not out there studying their hymnals, typically at a skate park. But it's a loss of something that wasn't great to begin with, but zero is worse than two, Empty, almost empty, is worse than the thing was there. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what happens. It's always a matter of price. And it's a question of, why did the decision get made this way and why wasn't there any kind of warning running up to it? And I think we all understand the problem of homelessness and people, taking advantage of things and then them becoming unmaintained because they're using them and leaving trash and all that. That's a problem too. County staff obviously could have cleaned it up, but those problems recur when you have a space that it's convenient for them to recur it. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Two notable deaths yesterday. Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was essentially a contemporary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s. He was, within feet of him, I think, is the account as I understand it, when he got gunned down. So, you know, obviously long time political activist, civil rights activist, you know, somebody who would intervene in international affairs and try to save and successfully save Americans or, you know, negotiate their release overseas. And then, of course, Robert Duvall passed away as well. And Robert Duvall, who's been in only 150 movies. And I say only because when you look on IMDb, if you're ever interested in this kind of thing, if you look at the number of films, oh, actually, that includes TV credits. So 140, I think it's 145 credits. Character actors, because he was usually not the starring role, usually. But character actors typically push more like 250 if they have an extended career, and he has extended career, 250. But amazing performances. Obviously, he was Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore in Apocalypse Now. He was the, you know, non-family counselor in the Godfather series. He was the pastor, minister, evangelist, whatever, in The Apostle. And, of course, you know, very famously, he was the cantankerous old racing expert in Days of Thunder. And I think that's probably what John knows him best for.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's not... that's rubbing. Rubbing's racing.
It is.
He didn't hit you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. So, and he loves the smell of napalm in the morning.
And Ricky Bobby.
Different movies. Different movies.
Yeah, Talladega Nights.
Robert Duvall was in Ricky Bobby?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think you're wrong about that,
well,
John.
Well, you just made me start thinking about...
I think you're completely wrong about that, and don't say false things on my radio show.
Y'all have a great
morning. Stink Guy John.
Now I'm going to have to go look and make sure he wasn't actually in it, because it's entirely possible that he had a cameo. 521 on News Radio. So, you know, two very notable people known for very, very different things, but we lost both of them yesterday. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors. In an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand, and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Why don't you just chill out a little bit and figure out which side you're on?
I would if I could. But you're just like them Pac-Man. Nothing but a gangster.
Whenever somebody passes who is a very prolific actor, and obviously Robert Duvall is, it makes me go, you know, I know the movies I know him instinctively from, and then I start to go look at their IMDb history and just kind of see, you know, what other things were they a part of. This is a ridiculous list of things that he was in. And, you know, big characters. He was, you know, again, Days of Thunder, Godfather, Apocalypse Now. He was the senior... patrolman in Colors. That was with Sean Penn. That's the clip I just played. He was the good one. He was the one who understood the people, knew the players in the gang scene in L.A. He was Frank Burns in MASH, the movie. Most people know Frank Burns more as the TV show, but he was the original Frank Burns. He was THX in THX 1138. He was Ned Peppers in True Grit. He was, his first start in movies was Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. They now call him autistic. You know, we didn't really have a name for that back then. But he was in The Natural, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the second one with Tom Sutherland. The Eagle Has Landed, The Conversation, The Handmaid's Tale, the original one before the TV show that just came out in 1990. Newsies, Falling Down, Phenomenon, Sling Blade, The Apostle, Deep Impact, The Civil Action, Gone in 60 Seconds, Sixth Day, John Q, Secondhand Lines, Thank You for Smoking the Road, and Network. And he was in a bunch of TV before that. Anyway, so amazing actor. 525 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That is quite the resume you just ran down there.
I know,
that
and is, I did it so fast it's hard to process, but man. You know, all and he wasn't the lead in very many, I think maybe not in any except The Apostle, but, you know, without him the movies would have been worse.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well,
that to me is always the mark of a character actor is that people know you and not the lead, you know.
Right, and you know, you mentioned Frank Burns in MASH,
in
the movie,
right.
And I'm thinking, I always forget that there was even a MASH movie.
Right, most people do.
But,
Yeah, and the song was different and a little darker, and the movie was darker. It wasn't kind of, it wasn't the lighthearted thing that the TV show turned into. Anyway.
Might have to give that one a watch here this weekend or something.
If you do watch it, you'll spend most of your time, you're like, well, that is not what Loretta Swit looks like. And I don't think Alan Alda. That's not Alan Alda.
None of this makes any sense. Right. The Department of Homeland Security is still under the effect of that partial government shutdown that started over the weekend. Congress withheld funding over immigration enforcement concerns. It's only mostly affecting Transportation Security Administration, Federal Emergency Management, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure, and Secret Service, as well as the Coast Guard. Jesse Jackson has passed away. Of course, we heard that on Fox News here at the top of the hour. He was, and you were talking about it a few minutes ago. But he was 84 years old. His family says that he passed away peacefully with family members surrounding him. U.S. and Iranian officials are holding indirect nuclear talks in Geneva today. President Trump holding the threat of military force over Tehran to make a deal. The talks are being mediated by Oman and include U.S. envoys Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, you remember... Dumb way to ask the question. You remember the Bad Bunny halftime show? Everybody remembers the show. They either remember it for watching it and loving it, or they remember for watching it and hating it, or they remember for not watching it. Pretty much one of those three categories. I don't think there's very many people who are like, Bad Bunny.
What do you mean?
I never heard of that before. So everybody knows Bad Bunny now. I mean, a lot of people knew him before. So you remember the sort of controversy surrounding the allegations that he had been swearing in Spanish or saying lewd and crude things in Spanish because the songs he sang in their original form are, because I don't speak Spanish. There's only a very small number of unsavory words I know in Spanish, and he didn't say any of them, so, you know, it's fine. Well, the allegation was that there was all this terrible stuff that nobody knew about because we're all too dumb to have second language. Well, it turns out, just like the early reporting said, no, he didn't. He changed all the words so that the as-aired version was, I wouldn't say completely fine, but certainly fine as far as the FCC concerns. The FCC finds no violations in the Bad Bunny halftime show, so it's all over but the complaining that it was in Spanish, which, if you ask me, was probably the reason that people filed the complaint in the first place, is they were just angry and wanting to, on the conservative side, virtue signal. You know, we sometimes think of virtue signaling as something that only liberals do. No, I mean, virtue signaling, the concept is going out of your way to demonstrably perform a value in a way that is kind of ridiculous and absurd, but is designed to be showy, is designed to prove your credentials to other people who might challenge them. And, you know, I think that's basically what the people who complained about this were doing, is we don't just hate Bad Bunny, but we want to prove how much we're against this decision, and so we're going to launch an investigation just in case that scurrilous Puerto Rican, you know, American, was using unsavory words in Spanish, and we're too dumb to actually know it on our own. And the answer was no, he was not. 437-1620. Oh, this is actually kind of an interesting story. Alex Andrade, who is getting no love from the administration these days because he has the audacity to actually question them when they do things that, at least to me, look illegal. Anyway, he's now got an interesting coalition of Democrats and Republicans on his side for his public records bill that he has been advancing, a bill that I think is a very good bill. It's got a Senate companion. Daryl Roussan, who is a Democrat, is running it in the Senate. No hearings in committee in the Senate yet, so that's concerning. It's ready for the floor now. It went 13-1 in its Justice Budget Subcommittee vote. Either ready for the floor, maybe it needs one more. I think it might need one more stop. But basically, if you put in a public records request, this says that the agency you're requesting it of, like, let's say, I don't know, just the randomly, the city of Milton. if you know the backstory, you know the backstory. Anyway, they have 3 days to respond. If they don't respond, they have to give it to you for free. They are banned from charging you if it takes less than 30 minutes to fulfill or if it's already been released for somebody else. They are required to only charge you the actual cost of duplicating records and fees for labor needed to review and do the records at the base hourly rate of the lowest paid employee capable of doing the work. And then government agencies are allowed to waive the fees for people like me, news organizations, journalists, and nonprofits, and others seeking records. And if you don't release it in a certain time, I mean, you basically have to provide it for free, which is, I mean, it's a good bill. It'd be great to see it happen.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa, champion of civil rights, the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, dead at the age of 84.
Under Mr. Reagan, the cumulative budget deficit for his 4 years is more than the sum total of deficits from George Washington to Jimmy Carter combined.
Jackson, during his run for president, the 84 Democratic Convention in San Francisco, he also ran again 4 years later.
His family announced his death in a statement saying Jackson died peacefully this morning, surrounded by his family. His unwavering commitment to justice, equality, and human rights helped shape a global movement for freedom and dignity.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting Jackson formed the Rainbow Coalition, important working class, saying his mission was to transform the mind of Americans. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies, a bit chilly. It's 50 degrees right now. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Former Pensacola doctor will not serve prison time for his role in a deadly pill mill operation. William Wilson pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 10 years probation and $5,000 fine. The case began after 17-year-old Tristan Bruni died from a prescription that Wilson wrote for oxycodone, Xanax, and Ambien. Tristan's parents say they'd known Wilson for years as their family doctor. Investigators say Wilson's office had billed insurance companies for more than $1.8 million. Wilson's wife and son face similar charges and are due in court this week. Some Escambia County residents are a bit upset over conditions at the historic Jordan Cemetery in Gonzales. The graveyard dates back to 1802. It includes veterans from the Civil War, World War I, World War II. Commissioners approved funding to clean up the site over the summer, but neighbors say so far, not a lot's been done. The front of the cemetery is maintained, but the back, they say, is overgrown with weeds and debris covering headstones. There's no word from the county on when they'll be finishing the work. A brand new elementary school is now open in Myrtle Grove. Its history goes back over 150 years. The original campus dates to 1877 as a one-room schoolhouse. The new 87,000-square-foot building opened this week with some pieces of the past preserved throughout, including original brick and the old cafeteria doors. Superintendent Keith Leonard calls it a true neighborhood school. Students have been attending since November. Commissioner Mike Kohler says the new school is part of a larger redevelopment effort in the area, including the new fire station and a library. Well, if you have to use the Navarre Beach Bridge, Chris Bryan says that Wednesday and Thursday probably are not your best choices.
The Navarre Beach Bridge going to see temporary closures later this week as FDOT conducts routine bridge inspections. Lane closures are scheduled from 9 to 4 on Wednesday and Thursday. Drivers should expect delays and stoppages in those work zones. For updates on the inspection schedule and traffic impacts, stay tuned to News Radio 92.3 or the News Radio 92.3 app. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. A bill advancing in Tallahassee would make it illegal to use emergency funds for immigration enforcement. A House subcommittee voting unanimously yesterday to stop the governor from using the money on anything except for natural disasters. Republican State Senator Griff Griffiths introduced the bill. He says it was to ensure accountability. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer says the bill is moronic. 534 News Radio, and let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be seeing plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures warming up near 68 degrees in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower with partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Thursday, partly sunny skies, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 76. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 50 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. India's Adani has outlined plans to invest $100 billion to develop hyperscale AI-ready data centers over the next decade. The blockbuster investment comes as India pushes to gain a stronger foothold in the global AI race. Alibaba Group has released its newest AI model series, featuring enhanced capabilities as it faces intensifying competition in China's AI space, with several models launched in the past week. The Qwen 3.5 AI model comes in an open-weight version, which allows users to download, fine-tune, and deploy it on their own infrastructure. Apple has announced that it will bring a new integrated video podcast experience to Apple Podcasts this spring. The update brings Apple Podcasts more in line with its competitors, Spotify, YouTube, and now Netflix, which have increasingly leaned into video podcasting. Within the Apple Podcasts app, users will be able to switch seamlessly between watching and listening to shows from the same feed. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
1 in 9 children in Escambia County are victims of child abuse. When trauma steals safety, healing needs space. The Healing Garden at Gulf Coast Kids House will offer that space. With sensory plants, music, water, and shelter, over 4,000 children and their caregivers will find peace. Leadership Pensacola invites you to give today and help plant the seeds of healing. To contribute, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone from Orlando, where he is at the Medical Examiner's Board meeting. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. One thing I want to start with, we had a homicide up near the Okaloosa state line near Holt. Is that right? What happened here?
Yeah, basically, it was a girlfriend-boyfriend situation. He ended up shooting and killing her and then taking off, and we caught him a very short time later, and he's currently in our jail. So And then, of course, we had the other one in Gulf Breeze where the we just arrested the mother for killing her daughter. So the first couple of months of 2026 are not what we would call stellar in Santa Rosa County, but we're dealing with it. At least we've collared up on both of them. So
and the one that was Reagan Barber, that actually took place, like, what, back in November or something, right? This is a charging now. Is this right?
Right, correct. It was November 25th, I think, is when that actually occurred. And the reason it took so long on this one was we had to wait for phones to be downloaded and camera stuff and all that before we actually made the arrest. So,
do we know any more at this point, or can you say any? I'm sure you know more, but can you say any more either about motive or what happened or anything in that case?
Yeah, no, we really can't. We know the motive, but we're not really going to talk about it at this point because we're not totally sure, of a couple of different things.
Okay.
Now that she's in custody, we're going to have to go back and re-interview a bunch of people because they didn't want to talk to us before because she was out and about. So hopefully we can re-interview some people and get some more information.
Okay, so the concern about witness intimidation or relationships or just willingness to disclose, we're hoping to get more now. Okay, all right, I gotcha. And then the boyfriend who killed the girlfriend allegedly, up on Highway 90 and then fled. Anything else about that we ought to know? Was there pre-existing problems? Do we know motive? Was it just heat of the moment? Or anything?
Yeah. Well, right now we don't really know. He's not talking, which is, kind of common. So we're having to piece together a bunch of stuff. But the main thing I want to let everybody know is he is in custody. Mm-hmm. So there's no threat to the community. We got him really quick. So it was a great job by my major crimes unit.
Very good. We also had I don't know exactly how to classify this one, but a guy from Jay and his son who stole several tons worth of asphalt milling from a county lot. Is that right?
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. It's apparently they needed a driveway. I don't know. when I had to have a driveway, I had to pay for it. So,
so they went and stole, like, rocks or the milling. I don't know enough about construction. No, but they stole road before it was road.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is the milling and stuff. It's one of two things. It's either the stuff when they break up the road and then they crush it up and then people can use it for driveways and stuff, or it's the milling for the road. And I don't know that they specified which one, but it was one of the two. So
this doesn't seem like the most cost effective thing to steal.
No, it's not really. it makes you scratch your head sometimes. But people who do this kind of stuff, they're not going to be on Jeopardy anytime soon. So it was probably just a crime of necessity there.
That would be an entertaining episode of Jeopardy, though, I must admit. I think that would be fascinating to watch.
Asphalt for 200.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. So you're down at the Medical Examiner's Conference. Anything that you guys are working on that you ought to let us know about or that, we might find interesting?
No, basically what we do is, we have so many medical examiners across the state, and they all answer to the board. And sometimes they step down, and we have to appoint different people. So it's more like a selection process for different openings. And, they'll talk about trends that they're seeing across the state when they do autopsies, drugs and things like that, if fentanyl's up, down. So we'll discuss all that. And then next week I'll tell you what they had.
Okay. All right. What?
Yes, it's tomorrow morning. It's the meeting.
I see. I gotcha. All right. Oh, I got a text in here from somebody who says it was recycled asphalt. So you were on the right track. It was was used, pre-used, both basically.
Right.
Earlier in the day, and I know you know this conversation is going on nationally with ICE and the whole funding issue right now. There are several different demands that congressmen are putting on ICE, and one of the demands is they want body cameras, which I know everybody's on board with body cameras. They want name tags, badges with IDs, and then they want particularly no face masks. And I have said, I know that in certain limited circumstances, you might try to be concealing identities like you're undercovers and things like that. But generally speaking, cops, sheriffs, don't wear masks, and they have visible name tags and they have visible IDs. And that to me seems like normal policing, and I don't like the idea of people running around on the streets arresting people or detaining people that are basically, they look like the goon squad. They might not be, they're perfectly legitimate law enforcement, but they have a look, and I don't like that look. But you're the sheriff, what's your perspective on this?
Well, my perspective is this. Number one, we're in a new era. So when you start talking about, yeah, they need to show their faces and names and stuff, if I'm not mistaken, and you can do some research on this, when they initially started this, they did that, and it lasted about a week because people were tracking them down, going to their homes, surrounded their homes with protesters, and so that's when they started masking up and trying to be anonymous. I mean, it's a whole different animal now. I would say this to you. You know, here you are trying to go out and enforce federal law as directed by the President of the United States, and you go out and then no mask, name tag, everything, and then all of a sudden your house gets swarmed and your kids and wife are in there. It's a whole different ballgame for them, and I feel sorry for them. I really do. But the mask part, I would say name tags and badge numbers maybe, no big deal. That's fine. But the mask, I'm all for it. I just think that they need to protect their families. And if it wasn't for these idiots out there that are being paid to come and protest 90% of the time, we wouldn't have to have that. They could have no mask and their name tags and their badge numbers and everything, and it would be fine.
If your officers, like if your deputies were getting this same kind of treatment, would you allow them to do like traffic stops and things in masks like that?
Well, that's the whole point of it. So that's never going to happen in the state of Florida, probably. And the last operation we had down here that I actually responded to in Navarre at the the landscaping business. I saw several of the ICE guys with no mask, and they had their vest on with their name on it, because we're in a whole different ballgame here. We're talking about these Democratic strongholds where no holds barred. They don't feel like there's going to be any repercussions for what they're doing, throwing bottles, throwing rocks, setting cars on fire. They all think, hey, we're good. And in most cases, they are, because it's run by, you know, these Democrats that don't care anything about enforcing law. So I would say this, if it happened in Santa Rosa County, it wouldn't last long. Let's just put it that way.
So part of the problem is that local law enforcement isn't doing their job to create a safe environment for even ICE within which they can do their policing. Okay, I mean, I see where that's coming from. And how do you react to that circumstance? Just one last quick thing on the mask thing. If I hear you, you sound very much like basically what Tom Holman was saying yesterday on Face the Nation, which is, you don't like the idea. You don't prefer the idea. It's not what you want to do to have face masks on or name tags off.
Right.
But you can see circumstances where that might make sense based on the security or safety needs of the officers and their families. Did I summarize that right?
Yeah perfectly. Okay. Perfectly. I'm not saying carte blanche, everybody should wear a mask and everything like that. But when it comes to the safety of their families, they're just trying to do their job. I mean, they're not going out of, you know, making stuff up and just, you know, hurting people or whatever. They're trying to do what they get paid to do. And then when you do that and you show your identity and your house gets swarmed with your family in it, they need to protect themselves.
Anything else, Sheriff, anything else going on in the county that we ought to know about before we let you go?
God, I hope not.
That's enough. Hopefully for now, not. For sure. Oh, you know, I did want to ask you something, because I had meant to ask you, I just didn't write it down, it's on my brain. Interesting conversation that's being had around the drop in crime, which is, Santa Rosa's had a similar 20 to 30% across the board drop in crime over the last couple of years, right?
Yep.
And you and I have talked about that. The question of what's the cause? You know, obviously technology, things like the flock cameras, various forms of Ring cameras, drones, I mean, all of this stuff is helping you find bad guys and discourage them. But there's also been a conversation, and I believe in this as well, is that, you know, the young, unattached male, who is the source of the vast majority of crime in any society, is, you know, instead of being out on the streets and partying and drinking and, you know, trying to make babies or not make babies but still play at it, you know, that they're not out there doing the kinds of things that create crime to the way they used to, because they're at home on technology or on their phones or playing video games at home. Do you see that as part of the factor, or is it really just policing effectiveness and the other side?
No, I think it's a kind of a combination of both.
Yeah.
Technology has helped us so much. I mean, it's incredible. I started back in 82, and it's a whole different ballgame now. But we have that, and I think it's partly – what you're saying too. Kids just, you know, when they grow up, like my son grew up playing video games and my daughter did, they're just not I don't know how to say it, outgoing people out at night doing crazy stuff, because, yeah, they'd rather sit at home and play Xbox.
Yeah, so, I mean,
which I don't have a problem with.
You know, we all went out and got into trouble, and now they're just staying in and not getting into trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Which, like I said, I'm okay with that.
I do have concerns about what that means for who they are long term, and you know, even though the problems that come with going out and having fun and getting into trouble are bad, but also, you know, it's a certain kind of society.
And growing up with technology is really weird. So I've got deputies that if they could, they would text Miranda warnings to people. They really would. So I've got a few of those.
Like they would rather never talk to a person face-to-face ever?
Yeah, they'd interview them via text if they could. So,
oh, my God, that's too funny.
Yeah, that's just the way they're brought up nowadays. So it's a new world out there.
Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, I hope you have a good conference. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you again next week after we find out what happened at the meeting.
All right, sounds good.
Absolutely. 550 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I don't know, sir. It's
what is it, soldier?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hairy in there. It's Charlie's point.
Charlie, don't surf!
Charlie don't surf, man. That's all you got to know. 552 on News Radio 92.3. Lance, where's my surfboard? How long has it been since you've seen Apocalypse Now, John? Looks like a long time. You're not really reacting to it.
Yeah, a long time.
Have you ever seen Apocalypse Now?
I did, like, a long time ago.
Fair enough. Have you read Heart of Darkness?
Read it?
Yeah.
I watched the Conrad movies.
Book that the Apocalypse Now was based on, updated with timing to move it to Vietnam instead of whatever jungle war he was writing about.
I can't read.
All right. I remember in high school, you know, kind of learning that some of the movies that were amazing had been based on books that were, you know, prior to that, and nobody ever read anymore except they were forced to read them in English class.
Exactly.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Comic books.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. U.S. and Iranian officials are holding indirect nuclear talks today in Geneva as President Trump, of course, is holding the threat of military force over Iran to make a deal. The talks are being mediated by Oman. The Trump administration is formally denying Minnesota access to evidence for the fatal shooting of Alex Preti by federal agents. Drew Evans, head of Minnesota's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, said yesterday the FBI was not sharing evidence with the state. Evans said the BCA has also been stymied over two other fatal shootings, including Renee Good, January 7th. Looks like Team USA has another shot at gold today. The U.S. women's ice hockey team defeated Sweden 5-0 in the semifinals of the winter games in Milan. Abby Murphy led the way with a goal and an assist. The American women will now fight for their third Olympic gold in ice hockey on Thursday.
I have watched exactly 0 minutes of hockey, men's or women's.
Really?
Yeah. It's
just not your thing?
It's not my sport, no. I probably can't even be brought to watch, like, the gold medal match. And for other people who love it, that's great. I'm not disparaging it. I just know for me, hockey is an in-person sport, really. You know, because if it's on TV, the problem I've always had with watching hockey on TV is it's very hard to see the puck. Unless you have John's 900-foot, you know, diameter or diagonal TV. In which case, the well, who the has puck room is the size for one of head. Those? Right. Well, John does apparently. Yeah. You know, in his trailer. So
whoa! I have a pink flamingo outside, so don't.
It's the only one that's indigenous to Alex Andrade's. Although you don't live in his district, but close enough.
Close enough.
All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. There is a bill, and I must confess, I have not been tracking this bill, but the bill, and I don't fully understand it. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a news story about a thing I haven't been paying attention, don't understand. Ready? It's great show prep.
Yeah, really.
But, and you know what, honestly, because I... It's one of these, like, super long bills. But also, it's a bill that the details are going to matter. And I don't know that it's going to really pass, so I haven't gotten all worked up about it. But the legislation would apparently change the legal powers of HOAs and allow them to be dissolved. You know, kind of recall your homeowners association if you want to. There's been some really bad stories of corruption and embezzlement elsewhere in the state. Mm-hmm. The Hammocks. They embezzled $13 million from their HOA, and there's been other ones where it's, you know, $15,000 here, $700,000 there, whatever. Other cases, and the problem is, the allegation is that the state laws governing HOAs are very weak.
Very.
They don't have a lot of power to really make much change for these things. And you were, what, president of your HOA for a while, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so the idea of the bill is, again, I apologize for not having better details, but to make it a little bit easier to address the disputes, to resolve the disputes, to remove bad or undesirable HOA board members, I think, but also to dissolve HOAs a little bit more easily. And I would caution you, before you get excited about the prospect of dissolving HOAs,
okay,
what's the one thing right now that we've talked about several times that is threatening people who do not live in HOAs? That SB 948, the massive statewide preemption on residential zoning, to where you basically have no limits. You can't require parking. You have no setbacks on the sides. You have lot sizes at a maximum minimum size of 1,200 feet. You can't limit duplexes and triplexes and quads. It's essentially a recipe for putting any residential home or multifamily structure anywhere, even on existing zoning, if it's a residential area, anywhere in the state, no matter what local cities or counties say about it. That's the idea of the bill. And if that happens, the only thing that would save you is an HOA, because it would not overrule HOAs. So the HOAs would be living large on their quarter-acre lots or their third-acre lots, and everybody else would be like, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they can't force you to take something onto your property, but it means that the city and the county cannot restrict what a builder develops, and instead of building a 15 unit lot, they're going to build a 60 unit lot or a, you know, area. So that's what that's all about. And if that does pass, which I still have a hard time believing it's going to pass, it's so idiotic, but if it does pass, that the only thing that would protect you against that would be, you know, an HOA. Otherwise, somebody who's, if you live in a neighborhood and you all have, let's say, I don't know, half-acre lots, fairly large lots by subdivision standards. You have a half-acre lot, and somebody's like, I think I'll just put three triplexes down on my lot because it's my land. And they would be entitled to do that. You wouldn't be able to stop them right in your neighborhood. That's how I read the law. I mean, like, it's a crazy law. Anyway, so, but HOAs do have some value. And but, you know, look, I think everybody hates HOAs. I don't think anybody loves an HOA. Everybody hates HOAs. But what we hate more is the result of living in neighborhoods that don't have them. You know, that's the trade-off, is that when everybody can do whatever they want, they do. And it looks like bleep. So 437-1620. What else do we have going on? This is just a random weird thing that I saw yesterday, you know, as we've got a second aircraft carrier heading towards the Middle East and, you know, this kind of saber-rattling show of force, or maybe we shouldn't call it. Maybe we should call it catapult rattling.
Ooh, I like that.
Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Because catapults do make a lot of noise, you know,
right,
when they launch the plane. Anyway, catapult rattling that the president is doing. Odd question. Aircraft carrier, John, big boat, right? Big boat?
Yes.
How long does it take an aircraft carrier to stop? Measured in distance. Or time, or both, whichever you want to take a crack at. 30 knots. Okay, they're clipping around max speed, 30 knots.
Right.
Okay.
Couple minutes? I mean,
Take a stab. I mean, give me a number. Take a guess.
I have no idea.
I don't make one up.
5.
No. Okay. 15 to 20. Maybe 30 if they're cruising at top speed. Distance?
Oh, that's a...
Take a stab.
500.
What, feet?
Like 5, yeah.
500 5. 2 miles.
2 miles to
think
stop.
About a train takes, you know, a mile to a mile and a half typically. And an aircraft carrier, they got to throw it basically in reverse. You know, they got to crash. And, oh. I mean, you know, it takes a long time to stop that giant hunk of steel going through the water. Listen.